Coming up, a Linux laptop, the latest Kindle Fire, and a phone for Galaxy owners who need a physical keyboard. It's time to watch before you buy.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Before You Buy is brought to you by CashFly at CacheFly.com. Before You Buy is brought to you by Stamps.com. Use Stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it right from your desk. For our special offer, visit Stamps.com, click the radio microphone, and enter Before You Buy. And by the new Squarespace. Squarespace introduces a new content management system, making it faster and easier to create a high-quality website, blog, or online portfolio. Plus, more than 50 new features, including mobile responsive designs. For a free trial and 10% off your first purchase, visit squarespace.com and use the offer code BEFOREYOUBUY10. Hello and welcome to Before You Buy. This is the show that... our Twit product review show, where we get great products, interesting stuff in-house, and ask our staff to sit down and spend some time with it. I want to correct myself right off the top. Last week, we did a review of what I thought was a great little phone, the new Droid Razer M. Is that right? Max? Razer Max M.
Razer M.
No Max. Yeah. Razer M. I liked it a lot. In fact, I did give it a buy recommendation, but I did misspeak about the screen. It is a very nice Super AMOLED screen, and of course, Motorola is touting the edge-to-edge capability, and I did like it very much, and I thought at the very affordable price of $99, even less in some cases, it's a good choice. So that is a little correction. Thank you, and apologies for getting that one wrong. Let's start the show today with Mr. Tom Merritt, the host of TNT Tech News Today, every Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 1700 UTC, on our Twit network. It's our daily news show. Tom likes Ultrabooks, and he likes Linux, so we thought we'd let him take a look at something called Zareason. Tom?
Okay, so we're taking a look at the Zareason UltraLap 430. The what? This is one of a new trend of Linux boutique laptops that we're seeing. System 76 is probably the one you may have heard of. It gets the most mentions and popularity, and they're good laptops. I went with Zareason after seeing an article by Cory Doctorow on Boing Boing about them because, A, they're made in Oakland, California, so it's right nearby. I get to buy local with my laptop. And B, they provide a warranty option so that you can, just like you would from a big manufacturer like Lenovo, extend that warranty in a way that actually makes sense. It's not getting ripped off with an extended warranty like you'd get at the shop. They actually provide, in some cases, on-site support, but definitely an easy way to get support and fixes for up to 2 to 3 years. I've got a 1-year warranty on this right now, but I just wanted to try it out and see what it's like. It comes with your choice of Linux installed. You can choose from Ubuntu, Mint OS, several other distros on there. I chose Ubuntu. I know it's Unity interface has caused a lot of controversy in the Linux community, but frankly, for somebody coming from an OS X or Windows situation, Unity doesn't have a lot of the disadvantages that the old-fashioned Linux user is going to complain about. But I'm not going to review it mostly on Ubuntu. I'm going to review this laptop because my idea in buying it was my MacBook Pro is great. It is a solid workhorse. It can run all three operating systems, but it's heavy, and I don't always need to carry it around. So, yeah, should I buy a MacBook Air? Should I get one of these Ultrabooks? I went with the UltraLap 430 because it's the lightweight Linux laptop from Zareason. Gave me a chance to try them out. Now, base price for this is $899. Mine cost more because I bulked it up from 4 gigabytes of RAM to 16 gigabytes of RAM because I always have so many darn tabs open. I need a little extra RAM. I also went the 64 gigabyte hard drive option, which is the maximum flash hard drive that you can have in here. But otherwise, the options are the same across the board. You've got a Core i3 processor in here. I think you can choose to get a faster processor, but I don't feel like that gives you a whole lot of benefit. And the ports here distinguish this from a MacBook Air. You're not stuck with just one little port, and it's still pretty lightweight. This thing has an Ethernet port, an HDMI port, a USB 3.0 port on that side, and then on the other side, You've got two USB ports, one 2.0, one 3.0, an SD card slot, and a microphone and headphone uni jack, which I don't always love, but I'm really not going to be using this for recording a lot. Maybe some Skype calls or something, and this is sufficient for that. Like I said, it's very lightweight, less than 3.25 pounds, and for me, going from MacBook Pro, it feels like it's a feather. Good build, nice brushed aluminum here. It looks nice. A lot of people don't realize that it's not a Mac if they're not looking too close. This keyboard is a Chiclet keyboard. I don't love it. It's a little bit bendy. It's not as solid as maybe I would like, but I kind of hate Chiclet keyboards anyway. I'm used to them by now. That's fine. The room that you have with the keyboard and the palm rest and everything is perfect for me for doing what I want. Trackpad is fine. It works really well. What I don't like is this unified mouse click button here. Left and right are in one bar, and it's part of the same piece of plastic, and it just feels cheap. It's really hard for me to highlight things for cut and paste. But that's the least of my worries. Screen is fine for what I want to do. It's 1366 by 768 resolution, and it honestly, what I'm using this for is browsing the web, doing my lineups for tech news today. Checking some email, maybe playing some videos. Works great for that. All in all, I'm really in love with this laptop. The fact that it runs Ubuntu is just a bonus because I get to live in Linux, which I haven't done in a long time. And Ubuntu 12.4, which is running on this, works great. I almost went with Mint OS, and I might still switch it. That's another thing, is I can switch it. I'm not locked into one laptop. I don't have a license. I'm not locked into one OS. I don't have a license restriction here. And the best part, I saved for last. Every component that ZaRizen puts into their laptops, which, by the way, are manufactured in the United States, built in the United States, every component that ZaRizen puts into the laptop is certified to have a driver that works with Linux. So I haven't had a whole lot of issues. In fact, the only issue I've had was a little bit of a connectivity issue, and it's a known bug in Ubuntu that when it goes to sleep and you wake it back up, it looks like the wireless radio is turned off. And you just, there's a function F2 that ZaRizen immediately answered when I asked him about it, said, yeah, you do function F2, it turns it back on. We're working on a fix. And it's an Ubuntu-wide problem. Other than that, though, I haven't had any driver issues, any malfunctions, anything like that. Really enjoy this laptop. It may not be for everyone because it's Linux. There's always the weirdness of a new operating system when you switch. I remember going from Windows to OS X and having to learn a lot of things. You're going to have to learn a lot of things going to Linux, and it's a different way of learning things. Some things you have to do in the command line to change a setting still. Most things you don't. But that's why I probably give this a try, just because if you haven't tried Linux before, you may want to see if it's for you. But more than ever, Ubuntu, I don't feel like I'm using Linux. I just feel like I'm using a laptop. So if you are okay with Linux, then I'd change it to buy. But for everybody, just in general, I'll say try. That's it for the ZaRizen Ultralap 430.
Thank you, Tom. I'm glad Tom did that review. You know, he actually bought that laptop. That's his laptop. And it's great to see a little company like ZaRizen making Linux laptops. They also do hackable tablets and other devices, which I think is a niche market, but it's a great part of the market. You know, my friend Cory Doctorow, who introduced Tom to this reason, used to take Lenovo laptops, wipe Windows off, and put Linux on them. That was kind of his standard operating procedure. But it's always an issue with Linux when you do something like that. Is everything going to work? Am I going to be able to find the right drivers? So it's great if a manufacturer certifies the operating system for the hardware. You get an Ultrabook. Beautiful looking Ultrabook. I'm really thrilled to see ZaRizen do that, and we can't wait to see what else they do. Coming up in just a second, we've got Jason Howell from TNT. He's going to review. I know some of you really want physical keyboards, but you also want a Galaxy S3. What if you could get both together at last? He'll talk about a new phone from T-Mobile that does something like that. But first, let's talk about my scale. This is my stamp scale, and I love it. Stamps.com it's postage on demand, but it's so much more. It really means that the post office comes to you. Anytime you need postage, you can print it with your computer and your printer and stamps.com. Anytime you want to mail a package, an envelope, anything from 25 pounds on down, you pop out the USB scale, plop it on there, and print exactly the right postage. Stamps.com will even print right on the envelope. They'll print the mailing labels. If you're an Amazon or an eBay or an Etsy seller, it'll take the address right from the websites, put it on a mailing label. It's just a great service. Now, you're looking right there at the Stamps.com webpage. Perhaps you've noticed that $80 special offer. That seems like a good deal, right? No, I can do better. Click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner where it says, "Did you hear about us on the podcast?" And type in "before you buy" as the code there. Before you buy, all one word. And that $80 offer is going to become $110. No-risk trial. I think this is a great idea. You get $55 in free postage. You get the digital scale. It's free. You just have to pay shipping and handling, a few bucks for that. You also get a $5 supply kit and a free 4-week trial of stamps.com. Never get up from your desk again. The mail carrier comes to you. You can even schedule free pickups. You get discounts the post office won't give you at the post office, up to 21% on express mail, up to 15% on priority mail. There's even discounts on international mail. It fills out all the forms for you. And, you know, even if after the month you decide, I don't need stamps.com, you get to keep the scale. It's yours for free. A great USB scale from stamps.com. Give them a visit. Give them a try. Let me know what you think of them. I've been a member and a user of stamps.com for more than 10 years now, so I think you know what I think. Stamps.com. We thank them for their support of Before You Buy. Jason Howell is here. We give him all the Android phones because he's the host of All About Android on
our thank you.
Network.
I enjoy playing with all the Android
and tablets and all that stuff.
Yes, exactly.
This is kind of a strange phone. First of all, it's T-Mobile only, right?
Mm-hmm. T-Mobile only.
So it's a GSM phone. But no, look, it has a physical keyboard.
What do you know? Remember these from the old Motorola Droid? That was actually the Android phone that I started on, the Motorola with the slide-out QWERTY keyboard. And, this is Samsung's Galaxy S Relay 4G on T-Mobile. It runs on their 4G network. Yes, the name is a mouthful.
I don't know why they do that.
I don't know why they do that. And I don't think we're getting any more used to it than
we
have.
It's the Relay. Just say the Relay.
Yes, the Relay.
But it is in the Galaxy family, which is kind of
interesting. It is, absolutely. Yeah. And it actually has some similarities with some popular phones that you've surely heard of. I'll touch on it in this review.
Take a look.
Hey, what's up? I'm Jason Howell, and I am here with the Samsung Galaxy S Relay 4G. It's on T-Mobile's network, and fans of slide-out QWERTY keyboards will probably want to take note of this review. It's $150 on 2-year contract. I believe they have a rebate going on that as well. Let's dive right into the specs. It has a 1.5 gigahertz dual-core Snapdragon S4 processor, running 1 gig of RAM. It has a 4-inch WVGA resolution Super AMOLED display. There is a 5-row QWERTY keyboard that slides out underneath. It has 8 gigs of integrated storage. There is also a micro SD expansion card slot. It's also actually packing NFC, which is a nice little bonus. 5-megapixel rear-facing camera back there, and a 1.3-megapixel front-facing camera. It has a removable 1,800 milliamp hour battery underneath. And finally, it is sporting Android 4.0. All right, so let's take a look at the design of the phone. First of all, the body is a little bit thicker than you might be used to. For a mid-range phone, you kind of see this sometimes. And obviously, with the slide-out QWERTY keyboard, you kind of imagine that part of the reason for the thickness is the slide-out keyboard. You'll notice on the keyboard, they actually fit 5 rows of keys in there, which is a definite nice plus on there. And it was pretty spacious, although the keys are pretty flat, so typing really fast, I would find myself kind of bumping unintended keys at points. Also, the timeout for the illuminated lights underneath the letters is set at a second. The illumination goes away if you even stop to think about anything, and then the only way to get it back up is to just hit a key and then delete it. So that was a little annoying. Sometimes sliding out the keyboard when you're holding it with one hand can be a little challenging if you aren't hitting it dead center, but after a few times, eventually you kind of get used to pushing through the center. Overall, the rubberiness kind of feels nice in the hand, and all of the roundness throughout the device makes it feel if not, if anything, a little bit smaller than it actually is, because it definitely has a little bit of thickness to it. Now let's take a look at the display. It's not a super high resolution at 480 by 800. And on top of that, it's Pentile display. So if your eyes are very accustomed to seeing the crunchiness that comes along with Pentile, then you're definitely going to notice those pixels even more than normal. But for a mid-range phone, I'd say that the display is actually pretty reasonable. All right, now on to performance. I'll tell you, this phone actually runs really smoothly, particularly when you're talking about the fact that it's kind of in the mid-range phone market. It performs very well. Things seem to move pretty fluidly. Doing things like gaming, of course, played Dead Trigger as well as Mass Effect Infiltrator. And both games played really well. It was very smooth and fluid. Browsing the internet, jumping around web pages was a pretty slick and easy process. Overall, I was pretty happy with how this phone performed underneath. Now for the camera. If taking pictures that you want to save is really important to you, you might want to think twice about this. Pictures just kind of looked unfocused, undefined. It just wasn't a very pleasant viewing experience. And actually the video that came out of the phone was even worse. The video, I actually had to go back into the settings after I moved everything onto my computer to look at it to make sure I wasn't recording in 480. Sure enough, it was set to 720p, but it didn't look like it. I did a decent amount of calling on it because some people use their phone to call people. And I would say that the call quality was actually very good, if not great. Also, on top of that, it offers T-Mobile's Wi-Fi direct calling. Now, as far as the battery is concerned, I was okay with the battery. It was pretty much middle of the road. Overall, I got through my days without having to think about charging it halfway through. It really did perform okay. All right, so let's go ahead and take a look at the pros of the Samsung Galaxy S Relay 4G. It has a slide-out QWERTY keyboard that makes it an instant choice for fans of this kind of form factor. Its performance is excellent, especially for a mid-range priced phone. Call quality is loud, clear, and impressive. And it has some nice extras like NFC and Wi-Fi calling, to name a few. And now the cons. The display certainly isn't going to win any awards. It's a little bit slippery, particularly with one-handed use. And the cameras on this device are nothing to write home about. But overall, if you're on T-Mobile and you're looking for a slide-out QWERTY keyboard Android device, you probably can't do much better on that network. So I'd say if that's important to you, go ahead and buy it. Otherwise, if you're just looking for a phone on the T-Mobile network, I'd say try it. It might not necessarily fulfill everything that you're looking for, but it's a reasonable phone and definitely worth checking out. You can catch my reviews on All About Android at twit.tv/AAA. And thank you so much for checking out my review of the Samsung Galaxy S Relay 4G.
Now, Jason did a much longer review, which you can catch on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/twit, and you'll probably use it on All About Android.
Yeah, we'll talk about it a little bit tonight. We don't normally run the full length review on All About Android.
Well,
YouTube and find it. It's definitely a couple of minutes longer. It goes into a little bit more detail around the software because it's TouchWiz, so that's got to be something that you're okay with.
You could root it and put CM.
I'm sure at some point you'll be able to. I don't know specifically about the rooting community that's behind this particular device, but I would say overall, you can't get better than this on T-Mobile if what you need is a slide-out QWERTY keyboard.
I think better keyboards out there,
sure,
but that's the best on T-Mobile.
On T-Mobile, as far as I could tell, it was the best. Yeah. Outside of that, if that's not a deciding factor for you, I don't know why you wouldn't just spend an extra $50 and get something
S3.
Like an S3.
It's a specialty now, the keyboard. Mm-hmm. One thing you didn't talk about, and it's funny, I don't know if we really need to anymore, is how much storage is on that thing.
Yeah, it's an interesting discussion to be had because this only has 8 gigs of internal storage.
That's really small.
And when I kind of looked back on my review and realized that I didn't emphasize that very much, I had to kind of ask myself, is that a big deal these days? Because so much of these devices, Nexus 7 is a perfect example of that, have less internal storage because Google expects you to do more and more in the cloud. So maybe that it's not that big of a deal. But aside from that, you have the removable micro SD card slot.
So
if it really bothers you, you can expand it.
Yeah, I don't know if people load their phones up with music and videos anymore. Maybe they do, but you certainly can stream. You've got Netflix, you've got Spotify, all the streaming services, and of course, Google's own services for that.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Jason Howell, he's the master of ceremonies at TNT every Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern time, and also the host of All About Android with Eileen Rivera.
That's right.
And that is tonight.
That is tonight, 5 p.m. Pacific at live.twit.tv.
Very good.
Every Tuesday.
Coming up in a bit, one of these things is not like the other. I don't know how you could tell. Neither of them is like anything like the other. It's the new Kindle Fire. We'll take a look in just a moment. But first, let's talk about Squarespace.com. Everything you need to build an exceptional web space. The new Squarespace is here, Squarespace 6, and it's spectacular. Rewritten from the ground up with more than 50 brand new features. Squarespace.com has really taken it to the next level. It's a completely modern rewrite of what was already the best content management system out there. Now, Squarespace is hosting, so they host your site and software. And the tight integration of the two means that you're going to get a more reliable, more robust site without security problems. You don't have to worry about keeping it up to date. Squarespace does that. When new features are rolled out, you get them automatically. I really like that about Squarespace.com. And as you know, we tried again on Sunday on Twit. You cannot bring a Squarespace site down. One of the neat things about Squarespace is you can try it for free for 14 days without giving them any personal information except your email address. No credit card or anything, just the name of your site, your email address, and a password. And the email address is just so they can let you know when the 14-day trial is over. So you really get a chance to try Squarespace.com. Try those great designer templates, the customizations you can make. You don't even have to be an expert web designer to create a beautiful, unique site. Of course, if you know JavaScript, CSS, HTML5, Squarespace will let you do anything you want. They even have a really nice color-coded syntax-coded editor that pops out. Look at this great templates. Oh, and the other thing I love about Squarespace, it's their new responsive design. This one of the ways they've become more modern. Everything's HTML5. Everything's designed to work no matter what screen size you're using. I really like that feature of Squarespace. So whether you're visiting on a mobile phone or a giant 30-inch screen, the images are sized to fit every device. The site automatically adapts. It really is powerful stuff, but all the complexity is hidden to make it easy. Link it up to all your favorite social networks like Flickr, LinkedIn, Facebook. They're all in there. Plugins make it very simple to do. It's the all-new Squarespace 6, and you could try it free for 2 weeks if you just visit squarespace.com and click the Try It button. Set up a site. You know, we just had Ryan Block on Mac Break Weekly, and I didn't know this. They had originally, for their wedding, Ryan Block and Veronica Belmont, gone to a company that provides wedding sites, and the site was sluggish, unresponsive. So Ryan said, let's just do it on Squarespace. They set up their site for their wedding on Squarespace. And, of course, Squarespace is so reliable, so responsive, and so good-looking. They said they were very happy with it, and I think that's kind of a neat story. A lot of our friends use Squarespace. We use it for our Inside Twit blog. Go ahead. Try to bring it down. Inside Twit. Is it inside.twit.tv? I think it is. Yeah, inside.twit.tv. But try it yourself. Squarespace.com. If you decide to buy, and they've got two plans by there it is, the Inside Twit blog. If they've got two plans, they've got the basic plan and then the kind of unlimited plan. I think the price is amazing. $16 a month for the unlimited plan. When you buy an annual package, you get unlimited bandwidth, unlimited storage, unlimited contributors, unlimited pages. You can do anything you want. And when you buy an annual plan, either the regular $8 a month plan or the $16 a month plan, you'll get for free a domain registration. They'll hook it all up for you. Boy, this is a great, if you've got a baby on the way, a wedding on the way, a special event, a high school reunion, what a great place to create a site. Squarespace.com. Do use our offer code before you buy 10. That's a long one. I'm sorry it's so long. No spaces. Before you buy 10, 10 is the 10th month, so we change that every month. So before you buy 10, and you will get 10% off your first purchase. Make it a year-long purchase. You're going to save a lot of money. Squarespace.com. The all-new Squarespace is here. Well, I'll tell you something else that's here. It finally arrived. We ordered it. I ordered it right when Amazon announced it. It's the new Amazon Kindle Fire HD. Now, Liz lent me her old Kindle Fire, which I also bought to show the difference. The new Kindle Fire HD is a lot thinner. The screen is bigger. It's a full 7-inch screen. The software is more fluid because they're using a much faster processor in here. This is a dual-core 1.2 gigahertz Ti OMAP processor. And, you know, it But it reminds me a lot of the original Kindle Fire. And I'll tell you some of the pros and cons. One con, I got to tell you right away, very similar to the original Kindle Fire, the on-off switch is so hard to find. Now, on the original Fire, it was on the bottom where you accidentally turned the thing off all the time. At least this time it's on the top or the side, depending on your orientation. But it's flush mounted. I guess that means you won't accidentally hit it, but you also will have a hard time finding it. I find I have to look for it each and every time I turn on the Kindle Fire. There's also a volume rocker there, headphone jack. On the other side, you'll find two ports, a micro USB port for charging and a micro HDMI port. Yes, you can get HDMI out of this thing. And you'll notice on the back, the speakers, instead of being on the bottom, are on the left and right side to give you better stereo separation. Amazon touted the fact that this is Dolby sound. I don't know why Dolby let them use their name on it, because I guess if Dolby made an AM transistor radio, that's what it would sound like. It's very thin, very tinny. If you're going to want to watch a movie or play a game and you want the best sound, you're absolutely going to want to plug in headphones or speakers. Oh, let me show you this again. I'll turn it off and on again. By the way, it could be the bottom, depending on how the screen is oriented. I'm not sure which is the top or the bottom. It rotates just fine. Every time you turn it on, you get a new commercial. Let's just scroll. Go through all the different commercials. Look at this. These are what Amazon calls the Amazon offers, and it's one of the ways they keep the price low on this. I don't find the offers too bothersome. You see them when you first turn the device on the lock screen, but you'll also see them at other times as recommendations. That could be a little annoying. They stuck with the cover flow of the original Amazon Fire, Kindle Fire, but they got rid of the skeuomorphic shelves and the wooden background. That makes it a lot nicer. And up here at the top, as before, there's a list of the various things you can do. You can shop at Amazon, and that's an important thing to mention, because this really is a device designed to keep you in the Amazon empire, if you will. Whether it's movies, TV shows, music, books, or any of the products Amazon sells, this is really designed as a way to buy stuff from Amazon. I'll go back to the homepage here. Also, games. And it's a pretty good game machine. I put Plants vs. Zombies on here, and it's quite playable, Bejeweled, and so forth. They do on all of these something that you might be used to if you've used a Kindle at all before. There are two tabs at the top, Cloud and Device. So you can see what items are on your device, but you can also see what items are on the cloud not downloaded to the device. So these are all the games I've ever purchased at the Amazon store. That's right, the Amazon store, because even though this is Android 4.0, it's so heavily customized you might not recognize it. And without rooting it, you cannot buy anything on the Google Play Store. You have to buy everything from Amazon. That's not such a bad thing. The Amazon store is designed to only have apps that work on the Kindle Fire HD, so you don't have to worry about that too much. Scrolling along, there's also apps, same idea. Stuff that's in the cloud and then stuff that's on my device. You can see I have quite a few apps on my device. It comes with a contact manager and an email program and a calendar. So it does have basic productivity functionality. But really, you should think of the Kindle Fire HD as a content consumption device. That's primarily what it's all about, is buying and consuming content. Books. It's just like a Kindle reader. It's got the books, and the bookshelf is back, but just for the books. It also has, I'm going to go back home. By the way, on every one of these tabs, I can tap the star button, and I'll put that tab on my front page here. In fact, this was one of the complaints people had about the original Kindle Fire, was you couldn't really control what was on that cover flow on the front page. You can now. You can pin and unpin things from the front page. So you have quite a bit of customization. Here we are in the video store. If you're an Amazon Prime member, you'll especially like the video store, because there's a lot of free things you can watch, like this movie, Super 8. In fact, let me play a movie for you, because I think that's how a lot of people are going to want to watch or use the Kindle Fire, is for consumption device. I'll do it horizontally. And you can hear the nice tinny audio. I'm going to show the controls, because Amazon has also done something interesting. Let me turn down the volume. Screen's good, by the way. In fact, it's probably... I said I'm going to turn the volume down on this. Oh, you can't use that. You have to use the on-screen volume control. I'll do it over there. You notice this over here. This is what Amazon's calling X-ray. When you're reading a book or watching a movie, you get additional content about the movie in the controls. Now, of course, when you hide the controls, this all goes away. But I can actually see the cast and crew and director and so forth in this movie. I can tap it, and I can find out more. So that's kind of fun. I mean, it's an interesting way to watch content. Kind of not quite DVD extras, but it will, you know, give you a little bit better viewing experience. So that's movies or videos. There's also a newsstand. Yeah, Amazon wants you to buy magazines. I do have the New York Times on here. I don't know if I have a recent one. Yeah, this isn't that recent, but at least I've already got it loaded. I don't have to download it. This is Wi-Fi only. They are coming out with a 3G version that has kind of an unusual 3G plan for it. You pay $100 a year, but you only get 250 megabytes a month of data. I don't know if that's such a great deal. It's not exactly the deal that Amazon had with its original Kindle. I probably just continue to use Wi-Fi on this thing. The Wi-Fi works well. In fact, you may remember Jeff Bezos made a big deal about it, that it was MIMO, or dual antenna Wi-Fi, which is now starting to be seen on some of the mobile devices out there. That, in theory, means it's a lot faster. I don't know if speed of Wi-Fi is a big deal on a device like this. As you can see, the text is very crisp, legible, easy to read. That's what you'd expect from Amazon. Controls hide themselves as you're reading something, but you can slide them back out. There's a little tiny tab, if I can find it. On most things, there's a little tiny tab you can slide out to get back to the controls. Audiobooks are hidden. There's no Audible app on here, but if you are an audiobook subscriber or an Audible listener, you'll be very pleased to see your audiobooks do show up on here without any additional application. They've built a Audible capability in here. And actually, there's a kind of a nice feature, because if you have a text version of a book, in fact, let me pull up a textbook that I have both the audio and the text for. I'll go back to my books and let's read The Agatha Christie Mysterious Affair at Styles. So I'm reading the book here, and you'll notice there's a little audio player at the bottom. I can actually play back the book's Audible audio, and as it's playing, you see it's highlighting the text. That's kind of neat for a young reader, a new reader, maybe a dyslexic reader. This would be a really handy feature. Audible also supports that new Whisper Sync feature that works not only for text but also for audio. So if I'm reading the Agatha Christie novel here and I decide then to get in the car, I can start listening to it from the place that I left off on the audiobook. That's kind of a nice feature as well. Let's see. Have we gone through all of the features? Audiobooks. There's a web browser. Amazon Silk browser is on here. They claim a lot of acceleration going on in the web browser. I'll tell you, I don't really see it. This is probably not a browser you would use in lieu of your desktop browser. But for occasional casual browsing, maybe a visit to Wikipedia or, in this case, allrecipes.com, it's fine. It's doable, usable. And then back home, you can see the interface is not an Android-like interface. It's a very simplified Amazon interface, but it works. There's also photos and docs. Yes, you can use Amazon's cloud services for word processing and other documents, PDF storage, things like that, and photos as well. So let's look at the pros. One more thing, front-facing camera. If you had Skype, you could use this. It's not a very high-quality camera, but good enough for Skype. So let's take a look. The price is really right. I think the big pro on this is the price. $199 for a 16-gig version. That's $50 less than the comparable Google Nexus 7, the chief competitor for this, $249 for 32 gigabytes. There's another competitor. That would be the Barnes & Noble Nook, which has somewhat better statistics. It's a little bit lighter, a little bit higher resolution screen. This is 216 pixels per inch. It's about 30 pixels per inch more. Also a 7-inch tablet. But I have to say the Amazon ecosystem, to me, kind of outweighs the slight benefit you'd get by getting the Barnes & Noble product. If you're really interested in the content and in Amazon stores, this might be a good purchase. But if you just want a good, inexpensive Android tablet, I think spend the $50 more for a comparable Nexus 7. You'd be better off. So the pros, price, good screen, okay sound. The cons, the controls are a little weird. And its customized version of Android is really built more for content consumption and buying stuff from Amazon than it is for actually getting any work done or content creation. A great little tablet for people who don't want the complexity of an Android tablet. They just want to read books and watch movies and play games. I certainly don't not recommend it. If you're more sophisticated, you'll want the Nexus 7 from Google. Just because you get the full Jelly Bean experience, you get a real Android experience with a real Android store of several, about 600,000 apps versus the 50,000 available here. But for somebody who wants something simpler, maybe grandma or grandpa, somebody who lives in the Amazon universe who just wants a book reader, something to listen, maybe watch some movies and TV, this isn't a bad choice. I would say I'm torn between try and buy. And do not buy. It really depends on who you are. I guess I'm sorry to say, I'm going to have to say, unless you are absolutely stuck on something really dead simple to use and you live in the Amazon space, I would say this is a do not buy. You really probably should get the Nexus 7. Similar price, higher capabilities, and the full Jelly Bean experience. Sorry, Amazon. Nice try. I love the Kindles. But I can't recommend this unless it's somebody that's really into the Amazon universe. There you go, my review of the Kindle HD. I was really Fire HD. I was hoping for something. You know, I got the original Kindle Fire when it first came out and really kind of liked it. But I thought, oh, it could really be better if it were a little faster, had a little more memory, a little bit better screen. And alas, it's really kind of, I have the same reaction to the new Kindle Fire HD that I did to the original Kindle. It's nice, but not compelling. And not as good as some of the true Android devices out there. Well, that does it for today's Before You Buy. I hope you've enjoyed the show. We thank Tom Merritt, Jason Howell, and you for watching. Remember, you can get all the reviews in their full glorious length at youtube.com/twit. You can watch us do the show live, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 2200 UTC every Tuesday on twit.tv. And there's always on-demand versions available, audio and high-def video, suitable for playing on the Kindle Fire HD at our website, twit.tv/BYB. Send us email before you buy is BYB@twit.tv. Thanks to our producer, Tony Wang. Thanks to you for being here. And we'll see you next week. Remember, you gotta watch before you buy. See you later.